Dr. Hill Explains, where I invite you to join the science teaching conversation with me about...
This is a second podcast of podcasts while walking. I've completed the first two-thirds of my walk, and I'm now coming back down to Glen Gorge and going up again. What I want to do in this podcast is go over the idea, well, the actual topic is HSC marking, how it's done. So high school certificate, this is the end of school. And so what happens is they have this magic way of having the school do half the assessment and the exam assessment, and magically everyone thinks that's the right thing to do. You can have schools, variable ability, variable reporting, and it's equilibrated to give out. So what that means is that the power is shared between the exam committee, which is got this fairness associated, and the school. They can both affect how you go, and it can keep people, students, engaged for it. That's one level story. The other level story is trying to work out how to communicate this problem. And the fundamental problem is that there is a simple mathematical way that it's done, which is, I may as well describe it. So the way that is actually done is that in your school you have a cohort of students, and the cohort of students have a distribution of marks, the lowest to the highest in the distribution there within, and that is presented into it. They have a distribution and of a distribution with a range and a mean. That same group of students produces an exam result with a range and a mean, and the process is that they make sure that the school results have the same range and mean as the exam results. There's a bit of stupidity in that, but I'm not going to go into it. But that's what the idea is, and this is where we have a division. There are two ways of doing it. A stupid way, which they don't do, but teachers insist, schools teach, and the power structure of schools insists it's a process of rank matching, that the mark, you've got a range and mean of marks in the exam. The way that you do that is that you only purely take the rank data from the range and mean of the school, and then you assign those marks to that ranking, so the same group of marks appear over here. Now, this is bad, okay? So that's not true, and there's a whole series of things. The most important thing is that you have a list of the class school adjust the marks and the exam marks, and you cannot pick. It's simply not done that way. It simply is not done that way. So this means that the school has the same range and mean as the school's exam ones. And it's said that way, and there's the ranking process. So the student who may be 30th may come second of the exam. So his school mark, so he'll get the exam mark, but he will take, and this is crazy, he will take he will come second in the exam, that will be the same, but if he has come 30th, his second mark will be the 30th mark in the 30th mark in there. Now, that sort of appears to make sense. You can see that all the numbers are the same, it adds up, but it's simply not true. What in actual fact happens is that you have a distribution. That distribution is compressed, and then it's chirped. That is, the unit is, say if you want to raise the average of your school, the school gets the same range, this average is now a bit low, You can chirp it by making the lower marks first, from the lowest mark to the first next step, 1.1, and then halfway through it's 1, and then at the end it's 0.9 going through. So this actually distorts, it's sort of like distortion. So the school, there's no such thing as the ranking, has no effect in it at all. So this entire thing of ranking is a whole, is not true. Now, there's certain ways you can interpret it. So the bottom line is that when I've pointed out this is not true, simply because it doesn't relate to mathematically what's presented on the page, it doesn't relate mathematically to what's said at the website, the response has been to shut me up, get me out, and continue telling this process to the students. So the students really focus on ranking. So if they can actually get ranked fourth instead of fifth, they will then access the fourth mark, it's rather than the fifth mark in the HSC exam. And this is complete insanity, and it's completely wrong. But by saying that, it gives the school enormous power, because they can do things to change the ranking. You know, people on the same mark, we can give you one extra mark and one less mark, and make them highly stressed and competitive, which is really unnecessary. And then furthermore, that if two top students have the same mark, it has been advised to throw out the objectivity and come back and reassess them via an undisclosed method to differentiate them by one mark to change their ranking. This is all insane and all incorrect. And the important thing is that one has a series of explanations. The initial explanation is, well, they've got review, they know the best, they've been there for the greatest time. Let's go along with that story. That's the most convenient story, and it may well be. I hate to say it, say if someone sees the police being very rough with someone, the assumption, immediate assumption, is that that police officer is not corrupt. That police officer has perceived a threat for the safety of everyone in the group. That police officer is exerting force, necessary force, to take charge of the situation. And so you're not going to debate it. So there's the logic way forward. Now, what I'm doing, because I'm running out of breath going up this hill. Oh my God. Oh no. I think I'm doing this rather well. Sorry. What I'm doing at the moment is restructuring this to give a video cast. So I slowed down a bit, having a few interruptions, and rebooting up onto the video casting, then coming back and having a few technical difficulties that slowed me up here. But now what I've noticed, my poor brain convinced me I was at the end, but I'm only halfway. Oh God. Okay. I've sort of seen what I find to myself irritating. This is parable framing stories, going on, and so these are parable framing stories. I've listened to this DVD, not DVD, CD on this man who's had stroke, and he's explaining it in a way that I wouldn't, and it's very good because you discover it with him, and it's very slow, and you're given time to absorb bits and places and get your direction. And although it's not my style, I do think of it. So I do think there has to be a parable narrative at the end. And parable narrative goes something a bit like this. You're invited to a community group dinner where there's lots of kids there, and you're asked to bring a dish that only you can make. So please build it, give us that spinach quiche with the fish, salami and anchovies. Only you can make it quite that way. And the kids need it because they need the nutrition, the omega 3, etc., etc. Comes to you, and when it comes to it, they say, "Look, we're going to control the serving of it, and what's going to happen is that we're going to serve it afterwards and monitor how the kids have eaten their first course, and depending on how you've eaten your first course, you can have different sizes of this and the other foods." Complicated process, which does actually relate to just serving dinner. Here's serving dinner, it's a simple thing, serve it, take what you want. No, there's this control process in it. And you're there, and you've been there, the place before, and you have become friends with the pets, the communal pets outside. There's a German Shepherd, a rather nice cat, and a squawking galah. And they've got these pets, and as you sort of say, "Look, I really don't think you've really understood the nature of the dinner, but you know, tell me more, you're obviously running the show," the dog begins barking, and the cat has got meow like that, and the galah's going like anything. And they said, "All right, everyone, I'm going outside to look after these pets." And they go outside, and you're pretty sure it's bark, 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 and then you hear this kuff, a little flash, and they're barking, the cat goes even louder, and it suddenly stops, and the galah's going, and it suddenly stops as well. You smell a bit of cordite coming in, and you go in, and you say, what's that about? "Oh, I was discussing about the dinner, and previously you had your friends being a bit concerned, but then suddenly they say, look, it's best not to discuss any of it, and you go outside and to the courtyard, and there is the dog shot, and it's been shot not once but twice, obviously a winding shot and then a shot to the temple. The cat shot. The budgie, a few feathers, was it the galah, a few feathers, gone. And you come back in and you say, there's something wrong here. It's not the way you should treat animals. And this is glaring, and don't talk about it. And ding dong, and the police come up and say, the police have knocked on the door. They say, "Look, we have a few suspicions about what's going on." And the dinner person running the dinner says, "Baba, there's a bit of conversation, and you think it's pretty important. I might go up to these police and say, look, I haven't got a full story, but there's something wrong with the way the dinner's sorted, and there's something else wrong also happening here. This connection, a sort of a tissue of things not right. Can I talk to you about it? And the conversation very quickly turns because they've said, oh, well, we've got this troublemaker here, this person here. Can you do something about him? And the stress, and so we're dealing with the police. Well, everyone's having their part. It's not a sort of party. And they get to the main feast of dishing out your food the way they want to, always wanted to. And there ends the story. Now, with that is that I think this is something people can get to. So I'm in this situation where I've seen this process, which is not right, and it is actually destructive to the students. They're worrying about their ranking in the false belief that this process, which clearly doesn't happen, will happen. So if they beat a student by a tenth of a mark, their rank will increase, and therefore they will then acquire the next marks up the scale. And that tenth of a mark can be influenced by campaigning hard. So you have two students, one student who's very concerned, watching everything, can nudge up their marks by asking for things. So the resources of the teachers in the school goes to arguing about the marks when the assessment activity could be expanded to include something. And all the time, this creates a process and environment which requires a powerful figure to administer it because it's actually wrong. So now, at the time, you as a teacher have come forward with staff and material that's outside the process. People that don't know exactly how it is, but they need the food. So they've got to emphasize, move the debate away from what you have to offer towards the problem coming across. Now, parable of the dog, the cat and the galah are different levels of alarm and system. So the dog is really within the professional realm of to raise the alarm. This is right. And you could, if you had professional access, raise the alarm. However, as we know, what's happened is when the dog's begun barking, they've gone up and shot it. Then the cat represents the social stuff, the social relationship with your students. You could actually, you know, a cat's nice, the pat is calming. You can shoot that and destroy that. So although you don't know it, the aim of the job is not the process, not the pie. You know, you can bring the ingredients apart. Not getting the process on thing, it's ensuring that nothing changes the way that the power system that has come to go. Galah is a general alarm. Everyone can hear this loud galah. This is a general thing. I haven't actually put it forward. And so this process is a process in crisis. And what happens is that once you have crossed the Rubicon, crossed it saying, this is unfair, so I've gone to special staff education days where you get points for it to hear someone explain it. And I've not heard it explained once, I've heard it explained two or three times by principals, by people across. And I've said, it's hard to say. I sort of kept in my brain what I've been told, then read it, had another idea in my brain, and then said, oh, really? If they were really gung-ho about it, they would map the mean and standard deviation from here and across. That's how you do it statistically. But they haven't done that. They've done the range and mean. So, and that's... So, it's hard to say. You can't even get on to the what they should do or how it should be done or what they should do. Students see in statistics, significance, and there's a whole series of statistical techniques they could bring in. And this is one of the general thing is that if you have it there, and so these people, now what's happened is that you've got, this group of people cannot transform into the group of people who shoot the cat and the dog and the bird and get the troublemaker put away so they can continue the process year in and year out. That inertia is already in there, and they have to come within, they have to go in without knowledge into the inertia zone, form relationships and become desensitized to the actual process which is going on. Now, so you can see here now, I don't know, one of the things is that, as in the story, you come in and say, cat and dog and pie, and they say, troublemaker. And they have the process because the police, or whatever it is, in this scenario, are just ex-people who've run like a ring. Now, I hate to say it, you can see the idea that the statement, one of the things we have to cross here is that we can, so I can find the communication means, so I can maybe find it, but there is yet another aspect which you can go. This is the unspeakable. Do we say that, and it's only because I've gone through a pretty unusual sequence, do we say that g'day mate. Oh yeah, well, I'm podcasting at the same time, so getting fit and podcasting, but it looks as though I'm a complete nutcase, which is true. So there's nothing, nothing to worry about. Well, that's rather strange. Do we say that there is a mental health issue with our institutions? And really, it's, the answer is yes, maybe, but you can't say no, because the moment you say no, that is a symptom of a mental health issue. Now, that being said, I think we can learn something, and we have the George Pell, who's the Australian Cardinal, third in rank in the Roman Church, has just been put away for pedophilia, and the fundamental process of this going forward is that there has been a mental health issue, coupled with the statement that there is no mental health issue. And this hasn't actually helped anyone. And it's only from within the Catholic Church that you become aware of mental health is a real issue to come across. And if it's not discussed openly, it's a major problem. Now, he's clearly got a mental health issue. And clearly the formulation, the processes and understanding within that system does not, has certain things outsourced for which you can actually stop processes. So the one of the major things about out-of-control mental health issues, there are people who are aware of it. There are other people who are unaware of it and start to mould the situation so that's there. Now, I just want to say that I have a relative who's been a Dominican nun. She's now sort of, we've almost passed it here, but she related a few stories about the shifting of time. So at a certain point, we got all her old crockery from her dowry, which the family had to give the Dominican convent. And what they did is they had these huge rooms, hallways, storages full of nuns' dowry, and essentially they were good quality 1950s and 60s crockery, which would fetch possibly, you know, if you knew about it, $100, something like that, or $10 in the local op shop, and the process had gone through. But there was also the issue of mental health issues. So schizophrenic nuns, who they couldn't treat, they would pray for, and they would just hose down in the shower for hours to hose them down, to get them logic. And there's this big, because there's this way of the society overall wasn't handling mental health issues properly, and they would lock people up, hose them down in psychiatric hospitals. So it's nothing a bit wrong, but the rest of society's moved ahead, and you've still got this in-house front. And one of the things is that you've got this defensiveness to say, oh, you've done the wrong things, these people are evil. A lot of these people are actually quite sick. That is, not sick as in I look down on you sick. This is mentally sick. And the mechanisms within it to actually heal it aren't there. And then you have this transformation of a sick individual into basically a monster. But and there's this horrible thing, is that this really stupid lie, can I say, so let's quickly say, the ranking story is a lie. And it's very much, if you look at the ranking story, is it good? It actually feeds itself and makes the area around it decay. So it is, in effect, if I can visualize it, a bit of a maggot. However, there is a bit more. If you go in and attack it, it looks as though you are the culprit, you are the person not towing the iron. However, if you actually take a look back and say, look, I'm not, but there is a tissue of lies here, that is the story about ranking, the authorization to go in and change HSC marks, not against a predetermined. So ideally you should set out your marking criteria. The student produces this work, you apply the marking criteria, that's it. But not so. With this ranking thing, if, lo and behold, this double-blind thing, you produce two students at the top, you go back and find other criteria which they don't know about, which obviously is purely bias, to get a result which you believe is correct. Now, that's completely wrong, but that process seems justified. The maggot is growing bigger itself. And so you could say, oh, it's a one fly bone maggot in basically a bit of carrion, which is our education system. But there's more to it. There is this process. It's not just that maggot has to turn into a fly and lay itself. Otherwise, then it's got to get, it's got to be the major aim. And I suppose the critical aspect is that people, if you look at it, what you ask yourself, people running the dinner party, going back, what is their specialization? The specialization is not the key knowledge ready to transform that dinner party into the changing world of the future. That's not it. Their key knowledge is how to scan the surroundings and keep everybody in line. So if I can say, it's sort of like if you imagine, there's been a few military situations like that where the internal strategy has triumphed. The internal strategy and lack of vision or inward vision to attendant for a successful internal strategy has led to the long-term poor outcome. So there is a French Foreign Legion thing where there's this disciplinarian coming in and everyone's looking inwards while the Algerians encircle the fort and take him. There's a sort of a similar story for I think it's not Zulu Dawn, it could be Zulu, but the Zulus that come in and they've misread the entire strategical situation, and the sergeant or the QM is issuing ammunition. Line up, bring ammunition like this, and people are being speared as they're waiting in the line, and finally he gets speared. But he's looking at the internal strategy. The way that you get the maximum ammunition to the maximum people is this. And it's this internal focus, which means that the correct story can't get out there. Now, what's happening is, well, it's the unthinkable stuff in terms of there's the cat, the dog, the galah, perhaps myself, and I've sort of groaned and hauled myself away and slowly rebuilding skills and learning that, hey, don't make a comment to the people running the dinner party. Try and build a scope to going forward. So look like this. Sorry, this is really exhausting doing this walk. Let's hope that you might enjoy it. It's a pretty bizarre podcast, and I'll get there, and I think I'll do a good video podcast on it. It's just trying to link with people who are really high tension about any story. It's hard to get across, but it's very interesting in that the same sort of tactic of them talking to the police first and frame you is really the key take-home strategy that you have to do, and that's create this dinner party, this story, and have an unpack the story aspect to us. I don't know quite how it gets done. Thanks a lot for listening.
Another story comes to a close. It's been a pleasure sharing this moment in time with you. May you discover truly amazing things, understand them, and tell others. Thanks for listening.